Opinions expressed by talk show hosts or callers on KWRO AM 630 do not necessarily represent or express the opinions of the staff and management of KWRO AM 630 or Bicoastal Media LLC, its sponsors and subsidiaries. And now, ladies and gentlemen, broadcasting live from the palatial Bicoastal Media Studios high atop the Hall Building in beautiful downtown Coos Bay, it's the Jim Bice Show. Here he is, Jim Bice, the guy everyone hates to love.
Good afternoon, Coos County, and welcome to the Jim Bice Show. It is a gorgeous sunny day here in the Bay Area. You know, before the show, I was talking about maybe just canceling the show and going out and playing in the sun. But unfortunately, I can't get away with that. But it is a beautiful day. And my question is, why do we never get days like this on the weekends when you can get something done at home? These days come along during the week when you got to go out and work and you can't really enjoy them. This is unfair. We need a law, by golly.
Yeah, at least 70% sunshine all the time. That's what I'm... You know how we had a dark skies initiative in Bandon?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to have a bright skies initiative filed where we have a guaranteed 70% sunshine all year long. I mean, if government is God, let's go ahead and utilize it, right?
Well, liberals seem to think so I don't know why we can't do that. I was reading an article, some offbeat news, someplace, I don't remember where, but the local
CNN.
Police... No, the local police have issued a warrant for the arrest of Winter because it's interfering with some sporting activities.
Which ones?
Some major league game or something. I don't know, but I didn't read the whole thing. I just kind of scanned it, but I thought, wow, this is really getting silly. They issue a warrant to arrest Winter. Anyway, I do thank everybody for tuning into the show today. I have Rob Taylor with me as normal, and I have a special guest. I'm pleased to welcome Avery Horton, who is a candidate for Coos County Commissioner. And we're going to ask Avery some questions and let him explain to us why we should vote for him. So I'm going to kind of start with you, Avery. The obvious question, why do you want to be a commissioner?
Well, Jim, my campaign is called Horton Hears From You. Just like the elephant in the Dr. Seuss classic, Horton Hears a Who, and unlike our current elected commissioners, I hear the people of Coos County, because people are still people, no matter how small. And like most people, I don't trust the elected officials to tell the truth. So I want to give the citizens a chance to elect someone they can trust. And if the voters give me a chance, I will put my money where my mouth is and donate every other paycheck to the Emergency Management Department of the Sheriff's Office.
Wow, that's pretty awesome. Something I ask all the candidates, I pretty much know the answer, but I've got to ask you anyway. How many commissioner meetings have you attended recently, and how many budget committee meetings?
I was at the last commissioner's meeting, and I haven't attended any budget hearings, but what I found out was, when I called over there today, that they've instituted a policy where if you want a copy of the budget, you have to put in a public records request.
Isn't that ridiculous?
And it costs $30.
Yeah.
You see, I remember back in the 90s when I used to be able to pick up a copy for free. But this is the 21st century. There's no reason they can't publish that document as a PDF on the website. Now, they do have a budget on there, but it's not the one I want. I want the one that shows by line item, by each title, how much we're paying the Coos County employees. But for some strange reason, now they don't want you to have access to that.
Well, a lot of that's the unions and you know, that's one of those areas where you got to be a little bit careful, because I know some of the county employees, and the ones I know I don't think are overpaid by any stretch of the imagination. But one thing I'll give to the not just current commissioners but the previous commissioners, they've pretty much cut the fat out of the county as far as personnel and things that – it would have been nice, but we could do without because we didn't have any money. And now we're back to the same old thing. They've pretty much exhausted the the reserves, and now we're going basically it's a pay-as-you-go type deal because we just don't have any money. Do you have any suggestions on how we might alleviate that?
Well, Jim, government does not exist to solve every problem.
No, it does not.
And, you know, really, you know, people want to be left alone, and they want their money to be left alone. But it seems like every politician who comes along, they want to do some good, and but usually that good, the end result is they got, you know, their
just with other people's money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just like, no. So sometimes you just have to say no. And it's
well, you know, one of the things that is a hot-button issue is the homeless, of course. And now I've talked to a number of business people out in the Empire area. You know, they've got the Devereaux Center out there is providing a place for homeless to stay. But some of the business owners I've talked to out in that area are not happy with the homeless out there because they wander around the streets. And I've gone out. I've actually engaged a couple of them in conversation. It's difficult for me to feel a hell of a lot of sympathy for somebody that has a smartphone. He's standing there smoking cigarettes and has a dog, but he can't find a place to live.
In fact, Jim, they're planning on putting a drug rehabilitation center right down there by the Devereaux Center over in Empire.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We're going to pay for it, it looks like. So I hope everyone goes to the meeting on May 8th.
Yeah, well, that's kind of an end run around. You know, state law forbids them from using taxpayer dollars to build shelters for the homeless.
Well, Jim, I don't know if you knew this or not. I used to be the executive director over at the THE House on Coos Bay Boulevard, so mm-hmm. I've got firsthand experience working with the homeless, working with the agencies that work with the homeless. And the thing is, homeless isn't the problem. It's a symptom of many other problems because homeless people are not all the same. I heard your show last week, but I think you've missed a few. Because there's a spectrum. You've got gypsies. They don't want a home. They just want to be. They just want to go and be gypsies. You've got people who are getting over on the system, the scammers, the hustlers. We all know that. There's people who have bad luck. I mean, everything went wrong at the right time, and they're without a home. You've got people who've made bad decisions, whether it be drugs, crime, etc. And then you have people who don't have the mental and physical capacity to function like you and I do in, you know, the normal society. So you see, there's this spectrum. It's not a one-size-fits-all answer.
But that's what's being proposed everywhere you turn, and you're absolutely right. There are a multitude of reasons. You know, people that continuously make bad decisions, I don't know how you can help them. The people, the scammers, they're predators. The legitimate people, the legitimate homeless, and let's face it, folks, in this society, a lot of people live from paycheck to paycheck, and if something catastrophic happens, any of us could be homeless almost overnight. That's just the reality.
Right.
And I think those people deserve some help. But, you know, the dopers, the alcoholics, the scammers, the gypsies, and those that just don't want to be part of the system for whatever reason, why are we wasting effort on those people?
Well, see, Jim, I think you're looking at the symptom rather than the problem. For example, when I was the director there, I would walk the property every day to inspect it, and there'd be trash out in the yard, and I'd pick it up. Well, one day I said, you know what? I'm not the one putting the trash down. I'm fed up.
Yeah.
So about 4:45, when the doors open at 5, I walked out. I go, look around the yard. There's trash. There's cigarette butts. I don't smoke. If you guys want to eat tonight, I want this yard clean, and I'm not opening the doors till it is. Well, I got some grumbling, but the yard got cleaned, and every day when they'd see me walk out about 4:45, I didn't have to say it anymore. So it's like you can train people. It you just have to be, you know.
You have to establish some rules and stick to them.
And the problem with the system is it's very rigid. For example, I know a friend of a friend who hit some bad luck and really could use food stamps. She makes $1 too much. But she's been paying in the system all her life. And you see, we need a system where instead of it being rigid, it's flexible. And where you could look at it and go, wait a minute, this person's been paying in the system. Okay, how many months do you need some temporary assistance? Let's give you 3 months, and then you come back. And if you're not on your feet, then we'll reevaluate your situation. But the systems are so rigid now.
I agree with you. I've looked into it, and the problem is that once you get into the system's set up in such a way that they don't want you can't get out of it. You're basically what you're doing. You're signing up for a lifetime of dependency, and it's very, very difficult.
And that's just on the front end. On the back end, you're creating a huge bureaucracy that's going to waste.
Here's the problem as I see it. The whole situation, or 90% of the situation, was created by government itself. You know, when you start offering freebies of other people's money, there are people out there that are going to take it no matter what. So that is, the government's part of the problem. And as to the rigidity, I understand your frustration, Avery, but the deal is it's difficult to give too much power to public officials or to public employees, because we've seen in the past how that can be abused. So I understand the need for rigid rules, but I also understand the need to come up with some innovative ways to get things done. But the system itself does not lend itself to innovation, unfortunately. And you kind of touched on that. Something else that's happening. Well, I'll tell you what, let's take a break here so that I can give you an opportunity to answer the question thoroughly. So if you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call, 541-267-2124. We'll be right back.
Always the right tire, always the right price, Far West Tire.
Hi, Danny at Far West Tire and Auto here. With winter weather comes unstable road conditions. At Far West Tire and Auto, we've got you covered with great deals on American-made tires with up to $140 back in rebates on 4 select tires. We can have you safely traveling in style, so stop by and visit the guys at Far West Tire and Auto. Highway 101, Coos Bay. Always the right tire, always the right price.
Stop in today to the all-new one-stop gun shop, Hole-in-the-Wall Gun Shop in Coos Bay. Your area leader in quality firearms, Hole-in-the-Wall Gun Shop proudly features the top brands of new and used handguns, hunting rifles, black rifles, antique and collectible guns, ammo, mace, and more. Gun cleaning and repair, expert advice, and handgun safety classes for concealed carry permits are offered too. So stop into Hole-in-the-Wall Gun Shop across from Cumyon's on Highway 101 South in Coos Bay. We buy, sell, or trade.
At Gibbs RV in Coos Bay, we sell more RVs than anybody on the Oregon coast. And we're looking for nice, clean, pre-owned RVs to consign or buy. Want to get your RV sold without the hassle? Call Gibbs RV today at 888-3424. That's 541-888-3424. Local pickup and appraisal at no charge. And remember, we make house calls. Gibbs RV Superstore, 1845 Ocean Boulevard in Coos Bay.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
Welcome back to the Jim Bice Show. I have in the studio with me Avery Horton. Avery's running for Coos County Commissioner, and we're kind of going through some questions. Just so everybody knows, I ask exactly the same questions of every commissioner candidate. That way, nobody can claim favoritism or nobody can claim that they didn't get an opportunity to speak. That's why I ask the same questions. One thing that's happening right now, there's been talk of establishing a special taxing district for law enforcement to help fund the sheriff's office. What do you think about that?
As I said earlier, it seems like every solution is either tax the people, put a fee on it, or prohibit it.
Okay, well, in the case of law enforcement, which law enforcement happens to be the biggest chunk of our budget in the county, as long as there are more and more mandates on law enforcement to do this and do that and do the other thing, how do we pay for that? Apparently, it appears the county doesn't have enough money to go around as it is. Do you have any other solutions to getting sufficient law enforcement in the county and keeping the jail beds open?
No, I don't really have a solution because, once again, it just seems like all the elected officials ever do is ask for more money. That's all they ever do. I think that, if we're going to do something, we're going to have to do it differently. We've got to come up with more ideas. And I haven't given that problem any thought at the time, but I can think about it.
Well, that's probably one of the primary issues at county level is law enforcement because, we've got a big county with very few deputies on the road. Not so much anymore, but I used to spend an awful lot of time in the woods, and you very rarely saw a deputy out and about like, I can remember 30 years ago when you went up there and you saw deputies all the time. You just don't do that anymore, and that's because of budget constraints. So, it's something for you to think about. Something else that is a hot topic now, of course, is Jordan Cove, the LNG plant. What's your thinking on that?
Well, Jim, simple answer is no.
Okay.
And the reason being is that it doesn't matter what you're buying, if you're buying a tie, if you're buying a car, if you're buying a house. If you have to think about it too hard, if somebody's twisting your arm, if somebody's just coming at you, it's just like, no. To me, it should either be a heck yes or it's no. And it's like there's just too many – it's just too many things that can go wrong, too many promises that can be broken. And once again, it's like the taxpayers could be left holding the bag. And I don't want to see that.
Well, I don't either, but I think there's ways around that. Part of the problem is everybody's thinking linearly and what we've always done in the past, and I think there's new ways to look at that. Now, no doubt, the LNG thing does present a certain amount of risk, but it's not near the risk that you take when you go out and get in an automobile and go out on a public street. You're in a lot more danger of being injured or killed there than you are from LNG. To me, the biggest issue on that is probably the fact that over the years, and it isn't just LNG, it's been many other industries, that go into an area, develop what they want, do their thing, make their money, and then abandon the project and leave the local people hanging. And I don't want to see that. But I think there's ways around that. Have them post a bond. Determine, okay, this is what it would cost if they abandon the project. This is what it would cost to clean it up. Make them post a bond for that amount. And just tell them, if you want to go ahead with this project, you provide the bond. If you don't provide the bond, you can't go ahead. I think that would be a big step. What do you think about that?
I think it's a very unique idea, and I think it has some merit. But once again, if the people don't want it, sometimes you have to listen to the people. Now, that being said, because I've heard you say that, the commissioners are the employees of the people.
Right.
Okay. But sometimes, the right decision might not be popular, and sometimes the popular decision might not be right.
That's true.
So, we live in a republic, because a true democracy are two wolves and one sheep deciding on what's for dinner.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm familiar with the analogy, and it's very true. Pure democracy cannot work. Human nature forbids it. That's why we have a republic instead of a democracy. And a republic does work. And what you say has a lot of truth. The problem is we need to get elected officials that are going to do the right thing regardless. And right now we've got one commissioner that represents pretty much all the people. We've got one that represents the Old Boy Network and one that represents the Indian tribes. And to me, that's not representative government because it's not representing everyone equally.
Yeah. I definitely agree.
Okay. And a big hot topic, of course, is gun control. We've currently got two commissioners that refuse to support the Second Amendment ordinance. And I know Rob's got something to talk about next hour on that. That's getting legs finally. People are finally realizing, hey, this can happen here. What's your position on the gun control thing?
Jim, you know my position on gun control. Gun control is hitting what you aim at.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, from my cold, dead hands.
Well, I think we're like-minded on that one. I'll tell you what, before I get into any other questions, we're at the bottom of the hour. Let's take a break, and let's give something away. How's that sound? People always like it when we give stuff away.
This especially is from your food.
This is from your locally owned McDonald's restaurants. They're located in Coos Bay, North Bend. There's one in Walmart and one in Reedsport, all owned by the same gentleman. And the one in North Bend's currently under construction. They're remodeling the inside, but the drive-up is still open. And I know just about every time I go by, there's cars wrapped around out there and waiting for the drive-through. So I'm going to do something to give them even more congestion. I have in my hot little hand some, for lack of better terminology, I call them freebie cards, okay? I've got one for one free breakfast sandwich of your choice. Another one for one free breakfast, lunch, or dinner extra value meal. That's a complete meal. And then I've got two of them for one free small McCafe beverage. So if you're out running around and you feel like you need a cup of coffee, whip into McDonald's. In addition, I've got a sheet of coupons, which are basically, it's on different products. Just buy one, get one free, which is a pretty good deal. And I'm going to give all this away to caller number 3 at 541-267-2124. So dial the phone right now, 541-267-2124. Be the third caller, and you can have all these goodies from your locally owned McDonald's restaurants. And we'll be right back.
And now your weekly car care tip from Tom's Bulldog Automotive.
Hi, I'm Tom from Tom's Bulldog Automotive in Coos Bay. How do you save money on brake work? Not by skimping, say the experts, who claim a bargain brake job seldom is a bargain. Instead, they say, invest in the best brake service available, drive sensibly, and of course, practice preventative maintenance. Preventative maintenance includes a periodic inspection of brake components to stay ahead of excessive wear of your brake rotors and drums. If you have squeaky brakes, they may be getting worn out and need to be replaced.
Make it a point now to have your brakes checked by Tom's Bulldog Automotive. They'll make sure your brakes are working properly and your car is in tip-top shape for the winter. Call them at Tom's Bulldog Automotive today at 541-269-0399. That's 541-269-0399. Or go to tomsbulldog.com.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. Think you can't manage the down payment it takes to purchase a new home? Think again. You could move into a $150,000 home with as little as $1,500 down with our 1% down payment option. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.99%, APR 4.19%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. Every day people ask me, Jay, did I miss out? Have the rates gone up? The answer is no. Rates are still low, and it's a perfect time to refinance your home, especially if your mortgage rate is higher than 4.25%. If you'd like to lower your interest rate and save thousands of dollars in interest without starting over on a new 30-year loan, a Quicken Loans Yorgage is what you're looking for. With our exclusive Yorgage, you can choose a term that works best for you, anywhere from 8 to 30 years. The rate today on an 8-year Yorgage is 3.25%, APR 3.75%. For 7 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation for customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. And for the third year in a row, they've also ranked us highest in the nation for mortgage servicing. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org. Number 3030.
Your brain is an amazing thing, but as you get older, it naturally begins to change, causing a lack of sharpness or even trouble with recall. Thankfully, the breakthrough in Prevagen helps your brain and actually improves memory. The secret is an ingredient originally discovered in jellyfish. In clinical trials, Prevagen has been shown to improve short-term memory. Prevagen, the name to remember, now available in stores everywhere. Statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
All right, so I have insomnia, but I've never slept better. And what's changed? Just a pillow. It's had such a positive impact on my life. And, of course, I'm talking about MyPillow. I fall asleep faster, I stay asleep longer, and now you can too. Just go to MyPillow.com or call 800-919-6090. Use the promo code Hannity, and Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, has the special four-pack. Now, you get 40% off two MyPillow premiums and two go-anywhere pillows. Now, MyPillow is made here in the USA, has a 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Go to MyPillow.com right now or call 800-919-6090, promo code Hannity, to get Mike Lindell's special four-pack offer. You get two MyPillow premium pillows and two go-anywhere pillows for 40% off, and that means once those pillows arrive, you start getting the kind of peaceful and restful and comfortable and deep-healing and recuperative sleep that you've been craving and you certainly deserve. MyPillow.com, promo code Hannity. You will love this pillow.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
Welcome back to the Jim Bice Show. I have Coos County Commissioner candidate Avery Horton in the studio with me, and we're talking about his vision for the county. Probably, I don't know how much impact it has at county level, but it's a major issue, and according to latest polling, 68% of the people are... They're tired of the invasion of illegal aliens, and they want something done about it. Now, Oregon is a de facto sanctuary state, and to some degree, our law enforcement hands are tied on that. Where are you at on that, Avery? I know there isn't a whole lot the commissioners can do, but I think just having someone like-minded with most of the people is probably going to go a long way.
Simple. Build the wall, deport them all.
I like it. Okay. Well, that pretty well answered that one. And, of course, the Congress just renewed the timber payments thing, and it's basically chump change. It's not enough to really accomplish anything. As a commissioner, is there anything that can be done as far as getting our people back in the woods and cutting trees? I know they've been riding the fence on a number of things for some years with all these excuses. Have you looked into that to see what can be done?
I haven't looked in to see what can be done, but the thing is, if you have the attitude, it's just like, wait a minute. It's here in our county. It's in our state. The problem is everything's backwards. The big money goes to Washington, and then they bring it back like... We're supposed to be happy. I mean, I said it to DeFazio. It's basically, you've got a gun to my head, you reach and you take my money, and then you come back with a Big Mac, and I'm supposed to be happy? Are you kidding me? It's just ridiculous.
Well, you're the incumbent commissioner, Melissa Cribbins, here a few weeks ago, went back to Washington to try to lobby for more of the in lieu of payments. And, of course, she talked to DeFazio and Merkley and Wyden, all Democrats. When we got a Republican-controlled Congress and Republican-controlled presidency, wasn't that just a waste of money and a waste of effort?
Well, you know, it's amazing what you can do when you're spending, you know, taxpayer dollars.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah, so basically she got a trip to D.C. and we got to pay for it.
Exactly.
Oh, that's a hell of a deal. Maybe I should run for commissioner. I like to travel.
You said you wouldn't run for public office, Jim.
No, I wouldn't. Even if I did, I would probably be impeached within hours of winning the election because, I'm sorry, I just don't have the personality for it. Nor do I want to.
Well, it's hard when you want to run for emperor of the world.
Well, no, just emperor of America.
Of America?
Oh, no, yeah. I don't care about the rest of the world. I'm an American.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, America first.
Now, here a couple of years ago, we went through a big ordeal. Our commissioners, two of our commissioners wanted to appoint a county manager. And the people basically said, no, we don't want that. So they did an end run, and what they did was they fancied up the finance director's job to make a de facto county manager. As commissioner, how would you address that?
Eliminate it.
Okay. Okay. I think that's a pretty simple answer.
Well, you see, Jim, a lot of times, you know, people talk about complex problems and all this, but every problem can be broken down to simple components. And
you
and the thing is, if you go down the wrong road and you start taking turns, you might not be able to get to where you want. You've got to come all the way back where you made that initial wrong turn and go further down and take the right exit. And that's part of the problem, is that people keep putting patches on patches and Band-Aids on Band-Aids, and it's just like, no, you've got to come all the way back and start over and head in a different direction.
Now, are there other areas of the county that you would take that approach with, sit down and analyze? And
Everything.
Okay.
Everything. Because I've been in Coos County since 1989. I chose to make this my home. And back then, I've been telling the commissioners, because I used to work for the county as a data processing manager. I learned a whole lot in those 5.5 months that I worked there. And nothing has changed. This county is stagnated. If anything, it's worse off now than it was back then.
Well, that's just because we don't have the cash flow. You know, we had cash flow from timber and from other things, and we've allowed the politicians basically to undermine our way of life here. You know, now granted, most of it wasn't local, but some of it was. We sent some people to Salem to mouth the words here, but they went to Salem and I got to be careful what I say on here.
Yeah.
Stabbed us in the back. How's
right.
that?
Well, yeah. Well, and the other thing, Jim, is this. As a businessman, I know when business is good, that's not the time to start spending. That's the time to take some money and put it aside.
Exactly.
For the rainy day when business is bad. But the elected officials, if they've got money, they are going to spend it. I used to work at the county. I was told, hey, if you don't spend all your budget, then it's going to get cut. So you got to go spend it. It's like,
well,
I work
it's,
there.
It's baseline budgeting.
Yeah.
They do it at all levels of government.
No. And the thing is, you don't reward bad behavior. Because, you see, if there's not consequences for poor performance, performance never improves. And if I'm commissioner, there will be consequences.
Well, and I think that's what we need. We need somebody that's going to actually take charge instead of just pandering to their buddies. It hasn't come up as a campaign issue yet, but I'm going to bring it up. Because I personally, and I want everybody to understand this opinion, I think it's a ripoff, and that's this waterfront enhancement project. John Sweet's baby that, you know, we've put together a group of old boys, and we're going to take money that should be going to the people in taxes. We're going to change the name of it and give that money to these old boys to do with as they will. And in spite of all of the crap that you've heard, there is no mandate in their charter that they give a penny of that money to schools.
It's a money laundering scheme.
It is.
And they should be brought up on recess.
And the only people that are going to benefit from that's people that own property on the waterfront. What do you think of that, Avery?
Well, okay, it's interesting you're talking about waterfront because I'm a prepper. And one of the things is when you want to make water safe for drinking, you don't add to it. You remove the contaminants. You filter the water, and then, of course, you boil it to drink it. So when it comes to government, I want to be the filter. I want to just basically filter out all the you-know-what that's in government.
Right.
I don't want to add anything to it. No, we need to get back to basics, okay? You know, things that everyday people want. Not these special interest groups, not these people in high positions, not the good old boys. No.
So what do you define as the basics that we should be looking at first before we fund anything else?
Well, we talked about it before. Public safety, right. Law enforcement, the roads.
Absolutely.
And whatever other county infrastructure that we need. Those are the basics.
And that's a job of government.
Exactly.
That's what government's supposed to do. You know, on this homeless thing, there's been a bunch of ideas put forth. One of them is, well, maybe we can use the extra beds in the jail to house homeless. What do you think of that idea?
Do you know how many organizations would come in and sue the county? No. I'm not going to expose the county to lawsuits like that. No.
Exactly.
Like you said, though, about putting prisoners to work or something, once again, you'd have a bunch of do-gooders coming in and, you know, the union, and you'd be shut down. So, no, ideas like that, I would just have to say no.
You know, I don't know if they do it anymore, but years ago, you could check prisoners out of the jail to do different jobs, you know, basically for it wasn't, you know, you couldn't get somebody to come mow your lawn, but if you were working
well. Let's not talk about that.
But, they got a women's prison around here somewhere?
But, you know, in my own case at the time, I was on board of directors of Myrtle Point Sportsman's Club. And we were doing some upgrading, and we got prisoner crews to come out and work on that. And, of course, the jail sent them a lunch when they were picked up in the morning, and so they had a lunch, but I found out I was kind of managing them. They were real appreciative if I would run over to A&W and buy them all a hamburger and a root beer, and generally they'd throw those sandwiches away and eat the hamburger and drink the root beer. They did really good work, and they were happy to get out and do it. I don't know why we can't do some of that now. I don't know what the liability issues are, because I'm sure the laws have changed to some degree in the past 30 years. But, you know, we got people in jail. It seems a shame that we're just leaving them sitting there doing nothing. They talk about owing a debt to society. Well, how about going out and repaying that debt by, you know, picking up litter along the highways or maybe some of the stuff that is make-do work for our county employees to take the pressure off them so that they can focus on things that really need to be done. What do you think of that?
Well, Jim, if there's make-do work, then we've got too many employees.
Well, maybe that was a wrong choice of terminology, but some of the I got to be careful how I word this, because I don't want it to sound derogatory, but some of the simpler jobs that have to be done, that we're paying people big bucks to do, that could be done just as easily by somebody that's being paid a heck of a lot less. I think that's the best way I can describe it. But do you think that would be beneficial for the county to do something like that?
I think you'd have – here's the thing, Jim. A lot of – as a candidate, I've received a lot of questionnaires, and a lot of times they'll ask you, you know, a yes or no question, or true or false, or support, don't support.
Right.
But the thing is, many times it's the real answer is it depends. Each thing's a separate case.
Yes.
You look at it as a case. You look at the pros. You look at the cons. You look at what's interesting. You say, what's the worst thing that can happen? What's the upside? What's the risk? And you basically do a systems analysis, a risk analysis on it, you know, to try and pin somebody down. It's like, well, this. It's like, no, we got to look at it a case by case, because I think that's what the voters and the citizens and the taxpayers of the county want. Somebody who isn't just going to just take a blanket stand. They're going to look at each thing and make wise decisions based on the facts, because everybody has an opinion. But let's write the facts on the board. Let's let everybody see it. In fact, in my campaign statement, I list how I'm going to make decisions.
Okay. And, you know, and I like that approach, because we don't see that very often in government. Too often it's, this is the way we've always done it, so we're going to continue to do it this way. It didn't work before and isn't going to work again, but we're going to continue to do it that way. And we see that all the time. It goes back to the old definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different outcome.
Jim, thank you for saying that, because, you see, I don't believe my fellow citizens And taxpayers and voters of Coos County are insane, because if we elect the same commissioners and expect a different result, that's insanity. And I hope the voters prove me right that they're not insane.
Well, I think people are wising up to the fact that we've been lied to by the media, we've been lied to by our politicians, and I think people are looking for fresh faces and fresh ideas, because it's obvious that what we've been doing hasn't been working very well.
Right. Well, see, my focus is in three areas. One, eliminate waste.
Okay.
Two, reduce bottlenecks.
Right.
And number three, get rid of the deadwood. Those are the three things. If I can accomplish that, I think I will have a successful – I can look back and say I had a successful career as a commissioner.
Well –
And not, you know, put my fingers in 50 million other pies. It's just no.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I haven't attended any of the budget meetings this time around. I haven't had time, but in the past I've done it quite frequently, and I've attended more meetings than I really want to recall. But it always runs up against the same thing. This is the way we've always done it, and maybe it's time we get somebody in there that sees a different avenue of approach rather than the same old thing that hasn't worked. As for the dead weight, tell you the truth, I don't really know. It doesn't appear to me there's a whole lot of dead weight that could be cut out from the county, because the previous commissioners did a pretty good job. If you remember all the pain we went through about 10 years ago, when there were the massive layoffs from the roads department, they had to cut back on the sheriff's department because there was just no money. And we're slowly starting to come back from that, but I haven't seen anything that I could point to and say, hey, that's wasteful, we need to eliminate it. Is there anything specific that comes to your mind?
Just the way the day-to-day operations are handled.
Okay.
I mean, it's just there's a lot of things that could be streamlined.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
You know, and like we talked before, I was speaking with Rob, and I said, I called up the county office today, and I wanted, you know, a copy of that budget. And they said, well, you have to do a public records request, and it's going to cost you $30. I remember back in the 90s, I could walk in and get a copy. Go, wait a minute, I've already paid for it through taxes.
Yeah.
And why do I have to do a public records request? I mean, it's just one more instance of elected officials trying to put barriers from people getting the information. They don't want to be transparent. They don't want to be open. If I'm commissioner, I'm going to put everything out there. Everything.
Well, and, you know, like on a public records request for the budget, I think that's absolutely ridiculous. Anybody that's even remotely computer literate, which is just about everybody nowadays, how difficult is it to take a document, scan it, and turn it into a PDF?
You don't even have to scan it. It's generated by the computer.
Yeah, if it's computer generated, you just move it over and convert it to PDF.
Yeah, yeah.
Once it's in PDF format, you can post that on the county website.
Exactly.
You can email it to somebody that requests it. If you want it printed out in hard copy, I don't see a problem with them charging for the cost of the copying. But in today's electronic age, that isn't really necessary.
It's not. But, see, that's the attitude of the leaders we have.
Yeah. So, I'll tell you what. Let me take the last break this hour, and then I'm going to give you the rest of the time to tell people why they should vote for you, okay?
Okay, thank you.
So, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, the show's going to be Avery's for about 7 or 8 minutes.
Today's newer vehicles are more dependable than ever before. Qualified technicians keep them operating at peak efficiency. Bayshore Auto Repair, North Bayshore Drive in Coos Bay, have all the proper equipment and training to service and repair today's high-tech vehicles. Bayshore Auto Repair believes that care of their customers is just as important as the care they give your vehicle. Call 269-2700 for an appointment to keep your car, truck, or RV in top running condition. Bayshore Auto Repair. Top quality service and excellent customer care are their most important goals.
Looking for electronics or musical instruments? Do you like jewelry? Are you looking for a new or used firearm? How about tools? Or maybe you could use some extra cash. World Pawn Exchange, located at 1980 Sherman Avenue in downtown North Bend, buys and sells firearms, gold and silver, coins and jewelry, musical instruments, electronics, and more. At World Pawn Exchange, you'll find more than you can possibly imagine. World Pawn Exchange, 1980 Sherman Avenue in North Bend.
Hey everyone, this is Rob from Bass and Tackle, and we want to invite you to tune in every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for our brand new Bass and Tackle Outdoor Show. It's going to be an hour of fun, frivolity, and of course, fishing. Remember folks, that's Wednesdays at 3 p.m. and Saturday mornings at 6 a.m.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
Welcome back to the Jim Bice Show. Okay, as promised, Avery, we've got about 6 minutes left in the hour. Tell people why they should elect you as Coos County Commissioner.
Well, Jim, let me start off with a little poem I wrote. It's kind of funny. The Dr. Seuss book, Horton Hears a Who, it starts off with something I thought, you know, I think it's telling me something. The 15th of May is the primary election, and here's how Dr. Seuss starts off on the first page. On the 15th of May, in the jungle of Newell, in the heat of the day, in the cool of the pool. So I wrote a little poem I call Horton Hears from Coos. On the 15th of May, in the county of Coos, the voters can speak up just like the Who's. Commissioner Cribbins, in office for years, refuses to listen to your concerns and fears. Commissioner Cribbins has been in office for so long, Melissa can no longer tell what's right from what's wrong. For Melissa Cribbins, political contributions are condoned, but Horton can't be bought, nor will he be owned. Just like the elephant in Horton Hears a Who, candidate Horton will hear all of you. Now is the time to give Horton your backing. Vote for Horton and send Commissioner Cribbins packing.
I like it. You know, maybe you're missed your calling, Avery. Maybe you should have been a poet.
I like that one. Well, I've written a few songs, too, that's for sure. But you see, Jim, as far as why they should vote, to me, there's no higher calling than service to others. I'm a state-licensed home care worker. I do home care for a couple of my friends, and if I wasn't licensed, I'd do it for free. I volunteer at a food bank. I teach fitness at a gym in Bandon for free. I've been doing the Southwestern Oregon Preppers for the past 6 years, traveling up and down the coast, teaching my fellow citizens how to be better prepared for when disaster strikes. That's all out of pocket. All the gas, all the expenses comes out of pocket. See, I'm at the stage of life where I can give back. Once again, I chose Coos County, Bandon, here to be my home.
Right.
So
naturally, you want your home to be as comfortable as possible. And
exactly. So, it's all about, helping others. And that's why I say, people were really upset when the commissioners, keep voting themselves races just like Congress, et cetera. That's why I'm going to say it again. If I'm elected, every other paycheck will go to the Coos County Sheriff's Emergency Management Department to be used to help the citizens of this county be better prepared for disaster. Now, Jim, I know you you made a joke last week about the Cascadia, but I take it seriously, but we could have other disasters. Last week, I spent the week in Sun River at the Oregon Emergency Preparedness Workshop. I got to meet the top guys from FEMA, the top guys from the Oregon Emergency Department, all of them. I got to hear people firsthand from the earthquake in Mexico, the earthquake in Japan, the flood up in Minot, North Dakota, the flood when the Oroville Dam broke. In fact, that sheriff, he is the best storyteller ever. And I learned a couple of things at the workshop. Number one, you're on your own. The government is not going to be able to help you. So here on the coast, you better have something like 3 to 6 months worth of food stocked up, because do not expect help. It's total devastation if the Cascadia hits. But that's not the only disaster that can happen. That fire up near the Columbia River,
right?
If that would have hit Bonneville, we'd still be without power right now. So people in this area have to be prepared. You know, disasters come in all sizes. I mean, it could be a personal disaster. You lose your job, that's a disaster. It only affects you, that's a disaster. You know, something could happen, a truck could hit a power pole, and you might be out of power for a week. You're just your neighborhood. Why? Because maybe the transformer's back ordered and they can't get it here. It's going to take a week.
Right.
So the thing is, government's not there to solve all the problems. Okay.
Well,
so
just this past weekend, we had high winds. There's areas that were without power, and that's fairly minor, but you know, just our weather in this area can cause some major problems. I remember some years ago, we had a particularly wet winter, and I was up elk hunting and almost got trapped because the place I was camped, all the roads surrounding me, had slid and you couldn't get out.
Right. Exactly. And you know, if 42 or 38 get cut off...
Yeah, we're screwed.
Yeah, we are. But, you know, once again, why should people vote for me? Well, I'm going to tell you how I'm going to vote on any matter that comes on my desk. Number one, is it unconstitutional? If it's yes, I'm voting against it. Is it an unnecessary increase in taxes? I'm voting against it. Is it an unnecessary restriction of the citizens' freedom? I'm voting against it. Does it go against common sense? I'm going against it. It's just that simple.
Well, sounds like a good approach to me. I want to thank you for coming on, and I wish you the very best of luck in the election. That music coming up means that we're out of time in this hour. We're going to hear from some of our great sponsors, and we're going to get some propaganda and fake news from the lamestream media. So put on your brain filters, suffer through it for a couple minutes, and we'll be back.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
Welcome back to the Jim Bice Show. I'm going to change gears here. There's some things I want to talk about today that just absolutely tick me off. You know, before I get into that, I know Rob had some things that you wanted to go over on your Second Amendment ordinance.
Yeah, actually, I had a couple of big announcements. One really huge announcement, hopefully we'll have for next week. But I wanted to let everyone know that over the last past week, I've had over 20 people from different counties contacting me from counties we already had chief petitioners in, but kind of were laying stagnant.
Right.
It's like we went to the Board of Commissioners. They found out what dirtbags their Board of Commissioners were because they wouldn't pass the Second Amendment ordinance. And so they kind of were shell-shocked and didn't want to do an initiative. Well, now that we've got IP43 coming up and 44, there's a lot of people who are interested in this, and they're contacting me. And so now we have 21 counties, almost all of them, they're going to file the initiative. Columbia County just turned in all his signatures. We've been working for a year and a half on that, and he's got them all. And so that's going to be on the ballot in Columbia County. So yeah, and let me tell you, if you guys tune in next week, if I think what's going to happen is going to happen, it's going to be huge. And so I hope you all tune in next week because I'm going to have a big announcement for you. And in fact, hopefully it will be a newsworthy.
Right.
So the other thing is this Friday, at Friday the 13th, we're having an urban renewal tax referendum meeting for the shut it down committee that I have to.
Right.
If anyone doesn't know, I filed a referendum against that urban renewal tax, and it's a tax debt. And people keep asking me, well, Rob, how much money are we going to get back if we don't pass this tax? And I keep explaining to them, you're not going to get any money back, but what you're doing is you're preventing a debt that's going to be there for 20 years.
That you will ultimately have to pay off.
And you will ultimately have to pay off. And during that time, all of the districts that are having that money siphoned from, I can guarantee you several of them is going to come to the taxpayer and ask for more money. And so that's, you know, when they ask for more money, we got to ask them, why did you give it to urban renewal? Why did you give it up to enterprise zones? Because they all have to vote on those measures. And so we're going to have a meeting on Friday the 13th at 7 o'clock in North Bend Library. It's on Sherman. And we're going to discuss why I'm doing urban renewal. I'm going to give a history, and I'm going to tell you why urban renewal is not only causing your taxes to increase, but is in causing property prices to increase. And it's part of the reason. It's not the main reason, but it's one of the contributors to homelessness and the cost of housing going up to the point where it's just not even affordable.
Right. So that's this Friday, this coming Friday.
This Friday at 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock, North Bend Library.
North Bend Library. And if anyone can't make it, you can go to CoosCountyWatchdog.com. Let me say that again, CoosCountyWatchdog.com. And right there on the homepage, you can download a petition and sign it, stamp it, and mail it in. I don't know how easier you can get, but that's all you have
to do. Well, as a matter of fact, it should be posted today. I forwarded up to my webmaster to post it on my website. There will be a link on my homepage, www.coosnews.com. There will be a link on there so that you can download that petition and sign it. And everything is basically the same as on Rob's website.
Right.
I stole most of the information from you anyway.
Perfect, perfect. And that's the way to do it. And you know what? That's the neat thing, Jim, is that we've gotten so advanced with our social media and with our connections on the internet that I was able to take that file, like you said, that PDF, the one that,
right.
that would be, you know, if it was government, I'd be charging you $90 just to get it.
Right, yeah.
Well, I was able to send that to at least 50 or 60 different people, and they're sending it out to their groups across the county. So it's not just on my website, but I believe the Republicans have it on their website. I believe a lot of other nonprofit groups who are organizing around here have it on their website. And so if you see it, download it, sign it, and send it in.
And just remember, folks, when you sign a petition, that doesn't mean that that's the way you're going to vote. All you're saying when you sign a petition is that I believe the people have the right to express their opinion on this. That's all you're saying.
Right. And you know, Jim, we've been having a lot of bad weather, so it's been very difficult for me to get outside. So that's why it's very important. If you guys can – if you really want to help me, and I know all the time people are saying, Rob, what can we do to help? What can we do to get active? Well, this is so simple. Go to my website or Jim's website, CoosNews.com,
right?
Or CoosCountyWatchdog.com. Download the petition, sign it, and send it in, and you've done your duty for your civic duty for the community.
Yeah, you've said, okay, I believe the people should have a voice. That's what you're saying.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. Okay, let's go ahead and take a break, and when we get back, I want to talk about how the left is trying to stifle free speech in America. It's really bad, folks. It's worse than most people realize, and I've got the evidence to prove it. So we're going to take a break now, and I'll be right back.
Stop in today to the all-new one-stop gun shop, Hole in the Wall Gun Shop in Coos Bay. Your area leader in quality firearms, Hole in the Wall Gun Shop proudly features the top brands of new and used handguns, hunting rifles, black rifles, antique and collectible guns, ammo, mace, and more. Gun cleaning and repair, expert advice, and handgun safety classes for concealed carry permits are offered too. So stop into Hole in the Wall Gun Shop across from Cumyon's on Highway 101 South in Coos Bay. We buy, sell, or trade.
I'm a tire guy, and while you think you need new tires, what you really need is tires that created the whole off-road thing, and the kind of tough that strikes fear into roots, cages, and gullies everywhere. BF Goodrich Tires. They get you out there where the fun is. How far? That's up to you. Maybe you only need to get your fenders dirty with a little trail ride, or maybe you need to scramble up cliffs and cross the goo to get to your favorite fishing hole. When Playground Earth calls, you'll definitely be tough. Come see Far West Tire Factory in Coos Bay for the BF Goodrich All-Terrain TAKO and the Rugged Terrain.
At Gibbs RV in Coos Bay, we sell more RVs than anybody on the Oregon coast. And we're looking for nice, clean, pre-owned RVs to consign or buy. Want to get your RV sold without the hassle? Call Gibbs RV today at 888-3424. That's 541-888-3424. Local pickup and appraisal at no charge. And remember, we make house calls. Gibbs RV Superstore, 1845 Ocean Boulevard in Coos Bay.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
Welcome back to the show. You know, the big thing right now is this meltdown that Facebook has suffered with all of the personal information of a lot of the Facebook people being released for to God knows who. And this is part and parcel of something that's happening in this country, and I'm not the only one that sees it. Most people, there was a poll that was done just last week, 70%, and this is a nationwide poll now, 70% of those polled said that they believe that the mainstream media disseminates fake news. I don't know why it isn't 100%, but 70% is fairly substantial. And what it is, this is just a symptom. It's the left. The left cannot win in the realm of ideas. And all you got to do is look back just a few years into history to see that. Almost all of our enviro-wacko laws were not done by legislation where they were open for discussion, people voted on them. They were enacted by activist judges. They're trying to do the same thing now with our Second Amendment rights. The left has the ideas that the left has, nobody wants anything to do with them. The only way they work is when you have the heavy hand of government forcing you to do what they say. But that's not real freedom. And just to give you an idea, I got a few headlines here, and these are legitimate. A lot of them you probably haven't heard because the mainstream media wouldn't touch them. But this is how the left is undermining people's ability to express their views. The New York Times has banned a book. The title of the book is Killing the Deep State. It's an expose on all the corruption in our intelligence services and in Washington, D.C. It's a bestseller. But the New York Times has banned it from their bestseller list. It's also number one on Amazon.
I was going to see it went up.
But Amazon now is refusing to accept advertising for the book because it carries a picture of the president on its cover. You know, Amazon was founded by Jeff Bezos, who's been under attack by Donald Trump. The White House says it's not personal. It probably isn't, but Amazon is a huge company, and I'll tell you, I've got a dog in the fight. I buy a lot of stuff from Amazon. But should they stifle people's ability to access a product because they disapprove of it? And then Facebook is labeled all Breitbart. Breitbart is one of the largest conservative news organizations in the world. Facebook is labeling all Breitbart stories as intentionally misleading. And how do they know that every story is intentionally misleading? But they're doing that. They've also banned the Facebook has also banned the image of Jesus because they say it's excessively violent content.
I guess none of them were Catholics and never had to go to church.
I guess not. Now, Facebook and Zuckerberg's having to testify tomorrow in Congress today.
Right.
He's going to testify on why they had a breach of security and up to 87 million people had their information shared with a company called Cambridge Analytica. Now, Cambridge Analytica is a data company. They go out and do research, and then they sell the results of that research to whoever would buy it. In this particular case, the Trump campaign bought information from Cambridge Analytica that they used during the campaign to target voters. But here's the thing. Everybody's got their shorts knotted up over 87 million people being outed by Facebook through Cambridge Analytica. How many news stories have you heard about the millions and millions and millions of people that were affected in 2012 when Facebook stepped aside and allowed the Obama campaign to come in and obtain all that information directly from Facebook. It actually happened, but the media doesn't want to tell you about it because it might make King Obama look bad. And now, a lot of people don't know this in this country, but Europe has extremely strict privacy policies on their social media. And since Facebook and Twitter and all these other social media giants operate in Europe, they have to comply with those European laws. Now, the laws on that are much less stringent in the United States, but there's nothing stopping these companies from implementing those privacy policies in America, but they don't want to do it. And then the CEO of Twitter praised an article calling for a new civil war in which all Republicans are destroyed. Boy, that's really taking a neutral position, isn't it?
Well, he's so kind and generous. I mean, if that's the socialist utopia we're looking for, hey, march on.
Absolutely. And then I don't know how many of you have been following Laura Ingraham on Fox News. She came out and she stated the obvious. This kid from the Florida school shooting has been out there basically spreading lies and stuff, because I've listened to some of the things he said. I haven't found anything yet that I could verify.
That kid is a little Eichmann, you know what I mean?
He really is. He's a little Hitler.
Yeah.
Well, Ingraham criticized him on the air for being an idiot, which he is.
Right.
And so all these big corporations are pulling their advertising from Ingraham's show. This has taken us down a road, folks, that if we continue this way, nobody will be able to stand up and say anything if it's contrary to the current narrative that's being established by the leftists.
You know, Jim, when I had friends who worked for Acorn, you remember Acorn?
Oh, yeah.
Group back then? One of their policies was if they found a business that was promoting issues that they didn't like, they, instead of attacking the business, they would find out who the sponsors are, who's tied
right
to that business.
And pull the sponsors.
And then they would go to them, tell them how horrible these people are, and really attack them on that level.
Yeah, basically, all this is an effort to shut down free speech. If you don't parrot the party line, they don't want you to be able to express yourself. This is probably the most egregious of what's happening. Sinclair Broadcasting, which is a big conglomerate, it owns I don't remember how many radio stations, but a whole bunch of them. In fact, some of them right here in Western Oregon. Sinclair Broadcasting came out last week, and they implemented a new policy, and they had it announced on all their stations. They're promising to be factual with all their news reports.
So they weren't being factual before, I guess.
Obviously not. But
new and improved.
They're promising to be factual. Well, you would normally think that that's a good thing, right?
Right.
But what has happened, virtually all of the mainstream media has now come down on Sinclair Broadcasting just for saying that they're going to make sure that all their news reports are factual. So that in itself would tell you that the mainstream media wants to continue disseminating falsehoods, and they're upset with anybody that might rain on their parade by telling the truth. We can't have that.
No.
Another thing that's going on, I find this kind of humorous too. I don't know how many of you are familiar with a couple of young ladies. Diamond and Silk are their public names.
Vloggers, right?
Yeah, they're vloggers, basically.
Vloggers,
yeah. They do videos and they do blogs, and they're pro-Trump. And they're a couple of young black ladies. And their background is they used to be liberals, and being black, they saw firsthand how liberalism has screwed over their people when Donald Trump came along and said, hey, look, I'm the president for everybody. They switched over and they started becoming Trump supporters. And they're pretty good comedians. Some of their stuff is just absolutely hilarious.
I guess they've been watching that Roseanne Barr special, you know?
Yeah, but what has happened now, Facebook has determined that Diamond and Silk are a danger to society.
No way.
Yeah.
Those lovely ladies.
Diamond and Silk have been corresponding since last September with Facebook, owned by Mark Zuckerberg, remember?
Right.
About their bias, censorship, and discrimination against the two ladies' pages.
Right.
Their Facebook page. After several emails, chats, phone calls, appeals, beating around the bush, outright lies, and giving them the runaround, Facebook finally gave them another bogus reason why millions of people have liked and or followed their page that no longer receive notifications. This is a reply. This is a reply that they got from Facebook. The policy, this is a quote, the policy team has come to the conclusion that your content and your brand has been determined unsafe to the community. Now, it took almost 7 months to get a response, and now Facebook is saying, well, this response is final and it's not appealable in any way.
So blatant censorship is not nearly as bad as two lovely ladies having varied opinions. Wow.
Well, they have an opinion against the Facebook people. Yeah. Now, and my question is, what is unsafe or what is a danger to the community about two black women supporting President Trump? You know, it's deliberate bias, it's censorship, it's discrimination, and as far as I'm concerned, Mark Zuckerberg should be held personally accountable and probably fined heavily or maybe even put in jail. We do have a caller here. We have Matthew from Bandon. Matthew, thanks for holding on the line. What's on your mind today?
I appreciate it, Jim. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I was just at a... Avery Horton?
Yeah, Avery Horton.
And I was just listening over, you know, basically since the start of the program today, and I kind of liked what he had to say. He seems like he's got a good head on his shoulders.
He does. You know, I've known Avery for a long time, and we've had our disagreements and our ups and downs, but by and large, Avery's a pretty thoughtful and pretty conservative guy.
You know, Matthew, I've been to the Bandon School Board, and I was there because they were going to start a drug testing program for their athletics squad. And I went down there to complain against it, and one of the only people who showed up and had my back was Mr. Avery Horton. And I have to give you props for that, Avery. Good job.
Yep.
Yeah, I would have liked to have, if he's still listening to the program, I would have liked to have gone on and talked to him earlier. He seems like a good man, and I just wanted to tell you, Avery, out there today. I don't know if you're listening right now, but you earned my vote today, sir. I'll be voting for you.
Okay. Well, Avery's still in the studio.
Yeah.
There,
well, so. Thank you. I appreciate that. So, if you wanted to ask me a question, fire away.
Oh. Yeah, I had a thing. You're talking about the LNG project earlier today, and that was quite something interesting. I don't know about it either, and I was kind of sitting on the fence too, as far as if this is good or a bad thing, because I was out, I've worked out in the woods too, basically not like so much as cutting, but timber cruising, counting trees and measuring and
right.
doing all that stuff for the loggers just so they can get a, see what they have, how much their trees are worth on the property at a given time. And they had us do the pipeline thing from, like, I don't know where they, over in, like, Klamath County or something like that.
But it's coming across... through Douglas County and through Coos County. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's going like just kind of, it goes right above north of Coquille.
Right.
Back in them wooded areas and stuff there, and we were back there counting trees for like months.
But, yeah.
Yeah, you were right, absolutely right, Jim. Like, we're not going to get anything from that, when they cut that stuff. They're going to cut, they're going to basically, you know, just the pipeline, they're just going to put this big old hunk of metal pipe down like 20 or 30 feet down in the, you know.
Yeah.
So they got to clear the trees out front of it. But I was just wondering to see what his, you know, on eminent domain, because, you know, you're going across all these different properties owned by different people, different companies and stuff. And some of them don't really, they're not all on the same page.
Now, you know, here's the thing, Matthew, on the eminent domain. I've looked into that, where eminent domain has been used a number of times. If you listen to the anti people, you'd think that these companies using the heavy hand of government are coming into these property owners and saying, "Hey, we don't care what you want. We're going to do this anyway, and screw you." That's the way they portray it. But if you actually look at situations where eminent domain has been invoked, what you find is it's a very, very small percentage of property owners, because in most cases, these companies that want to lay pipelines and places that want to put in new roads and new electrical service and all of this, all infrastructure, it's an extremely low percentage of people where they've got to actually use the eminent domain to gain access to the property. In most cases, the property owners are compensated for allowing the easement across their property. So it's hard to really determine whether or not this is a major issue or if it's something that's being created from nothing. And remember, nothing has happened yet. So all these people that are already whining about it, they haven't lost a thing because nothing's been determined.
Yeah, exactly right, Jim.
Yeah.
I don't remember how many jobs they said this thing was going to create or bring to the
community. Well, there's a bunch of numbers out there on it that have been bandied around. The bottom line is, I don't think anybody really knows at this point. No, we know it's going to.
It keep changing it.
Yeah, we know that there's going to be an influx of construction workers. So, and those people, they may be from outside the area, but they're going to be earning the money here, and they're going to be spending a significant amount of it here. We know that there's going to be people hired more or less permanently as operators of this facility, and we also know that a lot of small businesses are going to expand their businesses to accommodate the extra influx of money. But other than that, we don't know squat. Everything's speculation, and everybody's got their shorts knotted up over nothing. You wanted to say something, Avery?
Yeah, I think the voters and the citizens and the taxpayers would want a commissioner that has their back. In other words, once again, people are still people no matter how small. And, you know, if you own property and you came and say, hey, they want to take my property and I don't want them out here, then I think you want a commissioner that says, yeah, I got your back, I'm with you, rather than, no, we're going to do this and here's why.
Yeah. I think the other thing, and I suggested this last week as well, this has been a controversial issue for over 10 years. And the only way to actually resolve it is put it out for an advisory vote, find out what the people want. Because as it stands right now, we've got a relatively small but very vocal group that's been against any kind of development in Coos County, no matter what.
The cave people.
And, yeah, the cave people. And I think it's time that the real people, the normal people, had a chance to be heard. And then I think it's going to be the job of the commissioners to make their decision based on what the people want, not what the special interests want. What do you think of that, Matthew?
I'm on board.
Okay.
Definitely. That's a good deal.
Hey, yeah, he's also got a vacuum cleaner to sell you.
Yeah, yeah, I got a bridge for sale. Hey,
that's good to hear.
Okay, I got to take a break here, Matthew. I really appreciate the call.
Avery, you've earned my vote today, sir, and I'm glad you had the stones to come on here and lay it all bare. I don't know the what would you say the county commissioner's name is now? Who is he?
It's Melissa Cribbins.
Melissa Cribbins, who is running against.
I'd call her out. You should call her out for a debate, bro. I'd go to see that. That'd be funny.
Well, there will be one at the League of Women Voters. I believe it's April the 25th.
Yep, it's April the 26th, Thursday, last Thursday of the month.
Yep.
I'll mark it on
26th, you're right. Yeah, it's Thursday.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, Matthew.
Thank you, Matthew.
The call. And with that, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back in just a couple minutes.
Looking for electronics or musical instruments? Do you like jewelry? Are you looking for a newer used firearm? How about tools? Or maybe you could use some extra cash. World Pawn Exchange, located at 1980 Sherman Avenue in downtown North Bend, buys and sells firearms, gold and silver coins and jewelry, musical instruments, electronics, and more. At World Pawn Exchange, you'll find more than you can possibly imagine. World Pawn Exchange, 1980 Sherman Avenue in North Bend.
In just a fast few minutes from right now, you can have life insurance for up to $500,000 without taking a medical exam and without leaving your home. We're Fast Life, and we're going to make this easy and fast. Odds are that you don't have enough insurance, or you're paying way too much for what you got, or you don't have any, and that's not good. Listen, nobody likes to think about life insurance, but we're grown-ups now, so call and protect your family. 1-800-254-9567, or go to fastlife.life. You've got insurance? That's great, but you may be able to get more coverage and pay less than what you're paying now. And with no medical exam, you can get it right over the phone, and that's fast. Faster than a speeding bullet? No, but fast. And we also said we make it easy. So call and get quotes, then submit an application over the phone, and that's it. And that's easy. Get approved, and coverage starts instantly. And that's fast. Faster than the speed of light? No, but fast. Call 1-800-254-9567 or go to fastlife.life. Fastlife.life. It's revolutionary. It's Fast Life.
If you run your own business, when you're not on the job, you're on the road. In your van. Signs that say detour and do not enter are just plain bad for business. Well, here's a sign that's great for business. It says 0% financing and up to 2 years complimentary scheduled maintenance on Mercedes-Benz Sprinter or Metris vans. Powerful, capable, and affordable. That's Mercedes-Benz van power. With pioneering safety technologies and low total cost of ownership, Mercedes-Benz vans are the right choice for your business. Check out the full lineup of Mercedes-Benz vans starting at just $25,995. 0% financing and up to 2 years complimentary scheduled maintenance. That's van power for all. Mercedes-Benz. Vans. Born to run.
Starting at price refers to base model Metris worker cargo van. Excludes all options, taxes, title, registration, transportation charge, and dealer prep fee. Please see your dealer or go to mvvans.com for further details and exclusions.
Are your medical bills piling up due to cancer or another serious illness? You are not alone. Many people face this challenge. Here's how Coventry Direct can help. You can receive an immediate cash payment by selling your life insurance policy. If you have $100,000 or more of life insurance, you may be eligible to sell your policy, even a term policy. To find out if you qualify, call Coventry Direct today at 1-800-510-2800 to speak to one of our policy specialists. That's 1-800-510-2800. The cash you receive from selling your policy can be used to help pay medical bills or whatever you choose to give you financial security and peace of mind. Call Coventry Direct at 1-800-510-2800 or visit us at CoventryDirect.com. Coventry Direct. Giving you the cash you need when you need it most. Coventry Direct is a marketing company and will refer qualified policies to a licensed entity.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
Welcome back to the show. I have something here. This is just a demonstration of how totally ineffective our public education system is, and I hate to use the term public education because it's more of an indoctrination rather than education. But there's a new survey that just came out last week. It found that a third, one in three young millennials in the United States aren't convinced that the earth is actually round. I'm not kidding. The national poll, this is a national poll now, It reveals that 18 to 24-year-olds are the largest group in the country who refuse to accept the scientific facts of the Earth being round. This is what our public education system does. Now, remember, these are the same young people that believe in man-made global warming. These are the same young people that are trying to dictate policy on the Second Amendment. How much credibility do they have when they don't even know the shape of the planet? This is what our indoctrination system has done. This is what our media has done. This is what Hollywood has done. So basically, you could reasonably say from this poll that one in three 18 to 24-year-olds are complete idiots. Well, the numbers are there. I do facts, folks. The fact is a third of them don't even think that the Earth is round. Here's another good one. You know, you don't see any of this stuff in the lamestream media. The reason they don't disseminate this is because it shows just how bad things are, and they don't want you to know how bad things are because, by and large, they help to create the situation. London, England. London has a Muslim mayor. Khan is his name. And he's a real piece of work. He reminds me a lot of New York's Bill de Blasio. Both of them are whack job communists. But London's murder rate shot past New York City, even though firearms of all kinds are banned from ownership or possession in London, England. But their murder rate just went past New York City's. And now the mayor is targeting knives. London's mayor declared intense new knife control policies to stop the epidemic of stabbings. The police will now stop and frisk people they believe are carrying knives. Stabbings have worsened despite Britain's already strict knife control laws. Did you know that? Britain has knife control laws. Under United Kingdom law, it prohibits knife sales to anybody under 18 years old, and it makes it illegal for anyone to carry a knife without a good reason. So you got to prove to the government that you have a good reason to carry a knife, unless, of course, it has a folding blade of less than 3 inches in length.
And, you know, I was reading that report. You have three more chances, greater chance of getting raped in London than you do in New York.
Yes.
Which may be why I visit London instead of New York this year. But, you know, this is
yeah,
something.
Yeah, it's wishful thinking.
Yeah, wishful thinking, yeah. So this is the thing, though. You were talking about they would have to register their knives. Well, when they start using bats, clubs, hands, and feet, what do we register then?
Yeah. Well, and all this does is it brings into focus the asininity of some of the stuff that's happening now, where they're wanting to, you know, for the life of me, I cannot understand why people would be stupid enough to go out in public and demand that the government take away their constitutionally guaranteed rights. What kind of an idiot does that?
A publicly educated idiot, maybe?
Obviously. We have a caller from Bandon. We have Haven. Haven, how you doing?
Pretty good. I just got back from spending the weekend in Medford. That was an experience.
I bet it was.
Yeah, not wanting to correct you, but I wanted to add, you know, the same kids that are writing policy are the ones that were eating soap a couple weeks ago and sniffing condoms.
So. Oh, yeah, snorting condoms and eating Tide Pods.
And having rainbow parties, yes.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, these are the kids that can't figure out whether they're boys or girls.
Forgot about that.
Yeah, they think the Earth is flat, but by God, they're trustworthy enough to dictate policy on Second Amendment.
Yeah.
You know, you can't make this stuff up.
No.
You know, I could sit here for hours and hours and hours. I couldn't come up with anything this ridiculous.
All you'd have to do is read the headlines, and that would pretty much say it all, because you go through it, and it's incredible, you know, the things they were putting out there.
Well, you know, one of the things I do, I do research every night, because the you know, the world is moving ahead. There's new news that breaks every day, and every night I sit in front of the infernal computer and I read articles, and some of them that are just so far off base, a lot of times I'll copy the headlines, because I can't believe that anybody's that stupid.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Well, and I know, Rob, you know, our boys are about the same age. And I know he and I probably have the same thought tonight, where we're sitting there looking at dumb things that the kid has done and goes, well, at least he's not eating soap.
Yeah, or snorting condoms.
Yeah.
Where did they come up with this stuff?
You know, Haven, I knew my kid was all right when he came home one day because he was upset because he was arguing with the social studies teachers over the redistribution of wealth. Now, at 17, I didn't even know what the redistribution of wealth was. So, you know, I give him props for that.
Yeah.
When I was 17, redistribution of wealth was, you know, my dad took whatever I had made and went, yeah, I'm keeping that.
Yeah. Now, redistribution of wealth was going to the old man and say, hey, you know, I ran out of my allowance. Can you front me some money until next week?
Yeah, you know, it's like your mom.
I need gas money. Yeah, good luck.
Yeah.
My mom would give me $20 and she'd never get any change. That was redistribution of wealth.
Yes. As much like the government does.
Yeah.
Hey, we're having too much fun. We must be doing something illegal. You know, anytime you're having fun, it's obviously breaking a law or something, or it must be immoral.
Yeah, most likely.
Well, I'll admit, maybe I'm close to the edge on that. I don't know. I tell the truth, and that offends some people so badly that they can't deal with it.
Well, I got another one for you real quick before I go. You've seen the ads, I'm sure, for that Chappaquiddick movie. Heard the ads on the radio.
Right.
I haven't seen it. I don't know if I'm going to, you know, whatever. But have you seen the new tagline they're putting on there? There's, you know, PG-13 or whatever. Watch out for historical smoking.
Right.
What in the hell is that?
Well, it's what has happened. I haven't seen the movie, obviously, but I've read some of the reviews and apparently
he smoked like a chimney, just like Eisenhower did. But I mean, this is a problem.
Well, apparently this movie is bringing out the truth of what actually happened. And just so everybody knows, years ago when my brother was still alive, he and I actually went and we walked that road and crossed that bridge. It's not really a stream. It's kind of more like a pond with an arm that the bridge goes across.
I've been there too.
Yeah. But, you know, you walk that and you look at it and think, the only way you could go off that bridge is if you wanted to.
Yeah.
Or if you were so drunk.
Somebody had their foot on the back of your head.
Well, he was so drunk that he couldn't see where he was going. Yeah.
But what's happened, that movie came out, and now all of the liberals are slithering out from under their rocks and trying to defend the Kennedys. You know, they were the sweethearts of the liberals for years and still are to some degree.
I have an Irish grandmother. She still has Jesus and Kennedy on the wall.
They've fallen. But I think a lot of people are going to get a real education when they go to that movie and find out the truth, as opposed to the crap that the mainstream media put out trying to cover for Kennedy.
You know, years ago, my wife and I, when the theater was open down in Port Orford, she and I would go down to the movies quite often because nobody was there. It was kind of fun.
Yeah.
And we went to see The Day After Tomorrow or something. It was, you know, okay, whatever. I swear to God, as we're walking out of the theater, these two people, you know, with their Birkenstocks on,
right,
and they looked at each other and went, oh, my God, Al Gore was right. Swear to God.
Yeah, well, obviously, they were intellectually challenged. That's a nice way of saying they're wackos.
It was Port Orford.
Yeah.
Need not say anymore.
Yeah. Okay, well, Thanks for the call, Haven. I appreciate it.
You bet.
You have a great day. And with that, we've got to take a break. And we're going to give something away. This is from the Lucky Star Chinese Restaurant. They're located at the foot of Newmark on Highway 101 in North Bend. Everybody pretty much, well, I don't know, is it North Bend or Coos Bay? I can never figure it out. I think it's North Bend. It's right at the foot of Newmark, okay? Everybody knows that.
I call it Lucky Star Land.
Yeah,
we all know where it is.
Lucky Star Land. They're open 7 days a week from 11 in the morning to 9:30 at night. You can dine in, you can carry out, or they deliver. And the food's really good, by the way. I don't know if you ever had it, Rob. They have what they call a sizzling steak.
Really?
It's a New York steak on a sizzling platter with veggies over it, and they actually serve it sizzling on the platter. It's one of the best steaks in town.
I'm going to have to try this.
Well, last week I had two of them.
All right. All right.
Anyway, what they're offering is their house special dinner. It includes barbecued pork, sweet and sour pork, fried shrimp, a spring roll, pork fried rice, and pork chow mein. Enough food for about three people. You've ordered that, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That'll feed the whole family, won't it?
And plus some. You can have leftovers. That's the nice thing, you know.
Anyway, I'm going to give this away to caller number 3 at 541-267-2124. So dial the phone right now, 541-267-2124. Caller number 3 gets a house special dinner at the Lucky Star Chinese Restaurant. And I'll be right back.
Hey, Oregon, it's Rob from Basin Tackle. Don't forget to tune in to KWRO or KWRO.com every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for your premier Southern Oregon radio program, the Basin Tackle Outdoor Show, where we set you up for adventure and give you directions to get there.
Yeah, I left my heart in Oregon.
Today's newer vehicles are more dependable than ever before. Qualified technicians keep them operating at peak efficiency. Bayshore Auto Repair, North Bayshore Drive in Coos Bay, have all the proper equipment and training to service and repair today's high-tech vehicles. Bayshore Auto Repair believes that care of their customers is just as important as the care they give your vehicle. Call 269-2700 for an appointment to keep your car, truck, or RV in top running condition. Bayshore Auto Repair, top quality service and excellent customer care are their most important goals.
Slip away to the tropics. The tropical decor at the new Copacabana, North Bend's newest and friendliest night spot. The Copacabana is located at 645 Virginia Avenue and features not only a full-service bar for all your favorite adult beverages, but offers hamburgers, seafood, and appetizers to satisfy your munchies. They're open from 5 till midnight Monday through Thursday and 5 till 2:30 a.m. on Friday and Saturday. At the Copacabana, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights are special with a live DJ for your dancing and listening pleasure. That's the Copacabana, 645 Virginia in North Bend. Stop by tonight.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
Welcome back to the show. You can quit calling. We do have a winner on the Chinese meal at Lucky Star. We'll do it again next week. Governor Brown has now signed, or she's indicated she's going to sign, the small business tax bill into law while exempting large corporations. That, and I did some research on this, the large corporations that she's exempted, things like Microsoft and Nike, well, it turns out that they're all heavy Democrat donors.
She just got money from George Soros, 25 grand, first one to get it in Oregon.
Yep. So basically what Governor Brown's saying, we don't care about small businesses. Remember, folks, 70% of employment in the state of Oregon is at small businesses.
It's the backbone of this state, country.
Yeah. And she wants to tax the hell out of small businesses and leave the big guys that could readily afford the tax, she wants to leave them alone because they donate to her causes.
How much you want to bet if we could check the lobbyist of who was pushing this, you would find that it was their lobbyist, number one. But, you know, it's just sad that she waited this long because I think we have a problem filing a referendum on this, don't we? Because we have such a short amount of time.
Well, what she did, she waited till last day to make the announcement.
Mm-hmm.
Friday, the way the rules work, she had until Friday to make an announcement on whether or not she was going to sign. And then she has, I think, 10 days after that to actually do the physical signing of the bill.
Uh-huh.
But remember, this turkey passed the legislature with only one Republican vote. It was all Democrats that supported it.
Can you remember the one Republican?
I don't off the top of my head.
I can't either, and I know his.
But it's just another effort. You know, President Trump gave basically 80% of the country a tax break, including small businesses. And no, it was not a tax cut for the rich. If you look at the analysis, the rich are actually paying more percentage-wise than they were before the tax cut. But so the president gives everybody a tax cut, and the state of Oregon says, well, we're not going to allow you to have that tax cut like the rest of the country. We're going to take it away from you, and we're going to spend it any way we want, you know, maybe on transgenders or God knows what.
Abortions for illegals?
Yeah, yeah. But this is the state we live in. We got to get rid of Kate Brown. I mean, normal people, with like most of you listening to me, normal people understand that you don't bite the hand that feeds you, and small businesses are the ones that feed all of us. They provide the jobs. They provide the tax revenue for the state to operate. And here we have a governor that wants to penalize the backbone of the state.
Jim, even more than that, small jobs are something that gives small families or families overall the ability to get out of poverty and to raise themselves to become property owners. As a small business, my family owns a small business, and it supports two of branches of our families. And we were able not to have to worry about the big guy telling us what to do or having to live our life the way someone else demands, because we get to choose what to do with this. So, you know, it's absolutely ridiculous that she's coming out against the, like you said, the backbone of the state.
This show is a small business.
Right. It's a small business.
As is my website's a small business. And this woman wants to tax the people that create employment. She wants to tax them out of existence, basically, because here's a dirty little secret. If you haven't been in business, you don't know it. Most small businesses operate on an extremely small profit margin, generally in the vicinity of 5 to 7%.
Right.
If you start taxing that, let's say a business is making 7% on the high end. Let's say you start taxing that and they're only making 6%. Well, that isn't necessarily profit that goes in the owner's pocket. That's gross revenue, and out of that, they pay their employees. They pay their taxes. They pay for their insurance. They pay their rent. They pay their utilities.
Expand their business.
And expand their business. And when you start taking money away from them, they don't expand. They don't hire new employees. Maybe they even lay a few employees off. It's not a good situation. Anybody that understands economics 101 would know that. But apparently Democrats have a learning disability. Not a damn one of them understands economics 101.
Yeah, Democrats have no brains and the Republicans have no spine. It's incredible.
Or gonads. Yes, I agree. Anyway, that music in the back means that we're out of time again. I don't know. This 2 hours goes so quickly.
That was too fast. Yeah,
it is. But the good news is I'll be back next week. Good Lord willing, and the creeks don't rise. And until then, I want every single one of you who I appreciate listening, I want you to go out there and you have a great week.